Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Psalm 143. The psalmist says here in verse number 1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate." He says, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works, and I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land." Selah. "Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. To teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." So here in the midst of all this trouble that David's going through, he says there in verse number 5, and I want to use this as our text this morning, he says, "I remember the days of old." I want to talk about remembering the good old days. Okay, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works, and I muse on the works of thy hands." I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about the good old days. Most of the time we remember the good things to the exclusion of the bad things, don't we? You know, when you start thinking about the good old days, it's usually the good stuff that you remember. And the children of Israel were that way. If you remember over in Numbers chapter number 11, verse number 5, they talked about how they remembered the fish and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks that they and the onions and the garlic that they ate when they were in Egypt. But what they failed to remember was how they were in bondage and how they were in hard bondage. And you know, the labors were terrible there. But, you know, all they had to eat whenever they were in the wilderness, they were eating the manna. You know, manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for supper, manna for midnight snack. And it was manna, manna, manna. And they got tired of eating manna. And all they could remember was I just remember the good old days. Well, the good old days weren't all that good. Sometimes. And so they seem to forget the harsh bondage that they suffered at the hands of the Egyptians. The psalmist said in Psalm 77, verse 5, he says, "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times." You know, I think it's good for us to consider the days of old and the years that have gone by, both the good and the bad. I believe that there is from considering the days of old and the ancient times that we can catch a glimpse of how we got to where we are. Amen. And you know, so some of what Brother George was sharing with us a while ago, we find how we got to where we are at today here at Central Baptist Church. And we can understand, we can look back and understand the works, what works and what doesn't work. And we can understand what gets us in trouble with God and what glorifies God. Now, this church was conceived in the heart of Brother Charles Baker. And of course, it was actually birthed 23 years ago today. And you think about 23 years ago. Where were you at 23 years ago? Well, I was in Jasper, Florida. I was in my very first pastorate. My children were ages 3 and 1 at the time. I'd been pastored just a young pastor, only pastored 1 year, had been there exactly 1 year, Jasper, Florida. But the situation in the world at that time, the population was about 5 billion, and I understand we're approaching about almost 7 billion people right now. So, you know, a lot less populated. Ronald Reagan was the president. George Bush was the vice president. Cost of a first-class stamp was only 22 cents. Boy, those were the good old days, weren't they? You know, and the cost of a regular gallon of gas was 95 cents, and we thought that was high back then. It was three times that now. But the Cosby Show was the number one show on TV. And wish we had some good TV programs like that anymore. They've gotten away, and the stuff they will put on there now ain't hardly fit to watch. I remember I used to do my sermons on a little old IBM PC Junior. Remember when the PCs first came out? My mom and dad bought us. We just had charity at the time, and they wanted the kids to have a computer. And the IBM PC Juniors came out, and that thing didn't have no hard drive in it. It had just 128K of memory. Well, I got 4 gigabytes of memory on my present computer, and like a 250-gigabyte hard drive. Now, that might not mean anything to you that if you're not into computers, but listen, we've come a long way, can we say? And I remember those days when I had to load the programs, and I had to save on the disk, and an actual floppy disk. Those weren't the good old days when it comes to computers, but I do remember those days. Now, we could be here all day discussing whether those good old days were good, actually good, and or not, and what aspects of them were good or bad. But I think we can all understand that our society has made a lot of advancements. And there have been many things that have been made better. Some things, I think, have been made worse. We know that medicine and technology was much better now. You have better chances of surviving something today than you did back in 1987. And technology, boy, just has gone off the charts. I can't even keep up with it anymore. Anybody feel like you've been getting left behind sometimes? Me and my wife tried to keep up with everything. We said, well, we're not going to get left behind like our parents did. But here we are behind already. It's amazing how fast things change. You can buy something today and it'll be out of date next week. They'll come out with a new and better, new and improved, whatever it is. But I think we can all understand that our society also has a lot of things that have caused us to not be better off in some respects, especially when it comes to spiritual things. And nevertheless, this morning I want us to look at some things about remembering the good old days. And first of all, I want you to see that it is because of the good old days that we can belong to God. It's because of some things that have happened in the past that we can come to God and we can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, what God did Himself in the past. Aren't you glad for what God has done for us in the past? The Bible talks about that He foreordained us in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Christ was manifested for us. But He was foreordained, before this world was ever here. Of course, God knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He knows everything in between. And He knew that you and I were going to be here in the year 2010, celebrating this 23rd anniversary of the church. And He prepared His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the salvation for us. And He chose us in Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And then He gave us Christ. John 3:16 talks about how for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad that God did something so that in the good old days that we could belong to Him? He prepared the way. We would not have any reason to join here together if God hadn't done what He did for us, right? I mean, we'd all be doomed. But we have a great hope in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what God Himself did for us in the past. But not only what God did for us in the past, I want you to see what others have done for us in the distant past. There are many, many folks that have come along before us that have laid the foundations for what we are today and for where we're at today. Now, I want you to think about the foundation. The Bible talks about the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Look at the Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. There's a lot of things in the Scripture we can understand about what folks have done in times past, but nothing so great really as the way that was paved for us to get the gospel, to get the Word of God, to get the things of God. Many folks have gone through some difficult times. Hebrews chapter 11 and begin reading verse 32. And he's talking here, this, of course, this is the Hall of Faith chapter, and he's talking about folks who have lived their lives by faith. And earlier in the chapter, he talks of Abel and of Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, and he talks of Moses and talks of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And all of these that by faith they lived their lives. But then he comes on in verse number 32 and he says, "And what shall I say more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and of the prophets." And he talks about these. He says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment, and they were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, and they were tempted, and were slain with a sword, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." So we see here, talks of the prophets, and of course the New Testament talks of the apostles. And it tells us in Ephesians 4:11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets." These were gifts to us, not only the prophets that we read about here, but the apostles also. And we're told in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 20 that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And so, you know, what others have done for us in the past is very important. What others have endured to bring to us the truth of God's Word and to sustain the truth all of these years and to the things that they did in order to take and see that we would know the Gospel. Think of those who God used to preserve His Word. You know, there are many folks who paid with the price of their blood to give us this book that I preach out of this morning. Thank God for the Word of God. I'm glad we have a copy of the Word of God that we can take. Many of us have multiple copies of the Word of God that we have in our homes and maybe different places. I don't know about you, but I got different places. I got the Word of God. It is just I got several copies in my office. Some in the glove box of my car. Sometimes I carry around a little Bible with me as I go from place to place. But we have the Word of God, and you know, not everybody had the printed Word of God. But where we got to today to have the Word of God, we need to understand that it didn't come cheaply. It didn't come cheaply at all. Some folks paid with their very lives. They paid a very high price so that you and I could have God's perfect Word. And I think of those who God used to give us our freedom. I mean, here we are this morning. We have the freedom to worship, the freedom to assemble. We have the freedom to take and preach the gospel of Christ this morning. You think that just came cheaply? You think it came free? No, my friend. God allowed some folks to take and give their very lives so that you and I might enjoy the freedoms that we have. Now, I don't know how much longer we're going to enjoy these freedoms. We know that we're living in a time when it seems like we're seeing freedoms taken away. And it may be very soon that we may not have the freedom to assemble. It may be that we might not have the freedom to take and to preach the gospel like we do. But think of those though that God used to give us our freedoms, including our freedom to worship. We need to think about those things. Think about those that God used to spread the gospel. Those who were obedient to the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the church. As you look at the early church in Jerusalem, it was under great persecution. Yet under that great persecution, they were obedient to the faith, weren't they? They were obedient. And many have been obedient down through the ages in spite of being tested and tempted and the things that we just read about there in the book of Hebrews. I'm glad that they didn't drop the torch. I'm glad that they passed the torch on to the generation after them. And listen to me, we must not drop the torch that's been passed to us. You know, we, just like Paul was given a dispensation of the gospel, in fact, those words came out of his mouth. He said, "I know that, you know, has been a dispensation of the gospel has been committed to me." That's how Paul saw his ministry. And to us is also a dispensation of the gospel. We've been given this time to take the gospel to our world, to the, this day and time, to our generation. And we need to be careful that we don't drop the torch that's been passed to us, just as those in previous days did not drop the torch that was passed to them. And so we see what God did, what others have done in the distant past, but I want you to think about what others have done in the recent past. Those that God used to plant churches. You think that this church just magically appeared? Yeah, it took some blood, sweat, and tears, didn't it, to take and go through this. We just heard from Brother George about Brother Charles Baker and those who helped plant this church and helped build this church and others who, that have influenced. You think about others who have influenced your lives over the years. I not only think of this church, but I think of the church that I grew up in. You know, I think of those that put their all in that church. My dad spent 45 years of his life working hard to see that Sterling Baptist Church in Brunswick, Georgia would be an ongoing thing after he passed away. He was faithful to take and work in the ministry there. But listen, you know, it takes people that are dedicated to the Lord. It takes people who are dedicated to God's work in order to plant a church and to keep that church going and to see that the next generation has a church that's there. And if we're not careful, listen, this church may not be here for another generation or two. Well, if we let things slip, we must make sure that we allow God to use us as He has used those in times past. Thank God for those God used to reach us personally. Think of those who were involved in you personally receiving the gospel of Christ and coming to Christ. And I think about many preachers that had an influence on my life. I think of Sunday school teachers that had an influence on my life. I think of my parents who had an influence. I think of different ones who maybe had just a very small part. Some had a small part, some had a very big part in me coming to know the Lord. And you probably can think about the very same thing in your life. Of those that had an influence upon you, maybe some folks that you didn't even know. I didn't know any of the folks really that began the work there at Sterling Baptist Church as it began some 65 years ago. But listen, all those people that got together and decided they were going to have a church there, just like the people that decided they were going to get together and have a church here, they all had influence on the people that were saved after them. And we need to realize that God uses people to reach us personally. And so, therefore, we ought to allow God to use us to reach others personally, too. Amen? Our lives ought to have a positive impact on others coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's because of the good old days that we can belong to God. I want you to see, second of all, that it's because of the good old days that we had better trust God. Look at Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Luke 11. And we're going to be in verse 47. And the Lord Jesus Christ is talking here to the Pharisees. He's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And he's really, you might think that he wasn't being very kind to them because he's saying woe unto them because they're a bunch of hypocrites. But I want you to look here at what he says here. There's some very important words that he says in Luke 11, verse 47. He says, woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. What was the Lord saying there? He said, listen, you know, these that have gone on before you, they were faithful, and you killed them. Yeah. You don't think that's not going to be held at your hands? But listen, can I tell you that God has a will for our lives? The Lord Jesus Christ was trying to get these scribes and Pharisees to understand that He had a will for their lives. And they were to bring honor and glory to Him. But rather than doing that, they were doing just the opposite. You know, we're told in Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We can know God's will for our lives. And God wants us to understand His will. And God has provided the way for us to come to Him, and I thank God for that. But Hebrews 2 and verse number 3 says this, says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. You know, there are a lot of folks who have heard the gospel. There are a lot of folks who have heard the truth of God's word, but they've not responded. You know, it's because of the good old days and because of what these prophets have brought to us and the apostles have brought to us and God Himself has brought to us and the Lord Jesus Christ has allowed to be passed down to us that we better take heed to the teaching and preaching of God's Word if we expect our lives to be in conformity to God, if we expect our lives to be in any way pleasing to Him. You know, God has given us so much. We have churches galore. We have multiple copies of God's Word. We have multiple media from which the gospel goes forth. I mean, even here in our church, we record on CD and we record on tape. You know, we put the gospel out there, but you know, you can listen, hear the gospel on the radio. You can watch the gospel on the TV. We got so many ways right now that the gospel gets out. More ways than have ever been accomplished before. I mean, we have a website. People can go to our website, and they do go to our website, and they can find about out about the gospel. They can read the gospel there. They get saved. They can understand what God has done for them. There are many ways, many type media that is being used today. But listen, it's all for naught. And all of that going forth of the Word of God is all for naught unless it's heeded, right? Unless it's heeded, and all the teaching and preaching that comes out of this pulpit, can I tell you, it's going to stand for nothing unless it quickens the hearers. Unless the hearers, you know, we're to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. We're to hear God's Word and we're to let it sink down into our hearts and lives. And we're to allow it to take and change our lives. You know, those of us who God has given so much, can I tell you that He expects much? And I just talked about all the things that we've been given. And it seems like we've been given more and more and more. And as we get toward the end of time, you know, we're going to see technology even expand even more. And we'll have even more to give an account for. But the Bible says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. What are we doing to use what we have? You know, God expects much because He's given us much. And we need to realize that. That's called stewardship. That's what stewardship's all about. It's not just about money. A lot of times when a preacher starts talking about stewardship, people just think about, well, you know, he's interested in money. Stewardship has to do with everything that we've been given, including things that we think about as being intangible. I mean, the gospel is tangible, amen, though. But the gospel and the Word of God and all of the things that we have. Because God has given to us, when you realize that we're going to be called into stewardship by all that God has given to us. So it's because of the good old days that we can belong to God, because of what God did and because of what others did. It's because of the good old days that we had better trust God. You know, it's a matter of stewardship. But thirdly, I want you to see, it is because of the good old days that we are better through God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Here in Deuteronomy 8, Moses is rehearsing in the ears of Israel how God was working in their midst. God used all kinds of circumstances. Those of you that are with us in here on Sunday morning Sunday school, we're studying about how the Israelites, their travels from Egypt to Canaan. And we kind of stopped in Mount Sinai right now. But there's a lot happened already. We're just 3 months into the trip, and a lot has happened in that trip. And he's talking about those very things. Look at Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 2 and 3. He says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Well, what's he saying here? He's saying God allowed you to go through some hardships. He said, God allowed it on purpose. You know, the times that you were, that you felt like your back was up against the wall, it was for you to learn to depend upon God. The times when you were without any food, it was for you to depend on God. When you didn't have anything to drink, you were to depend on God. God was teaching them some things. And can I tell you that God uses all kinds of circumstances and things in our lives to bring us into His likeness? And He uses those things to bring about character in our lives. And uses those things to bring about in our lives the things that are needed. And no, they're not easy to go through. The hardships of the Christian life. The hardships of just life itself. But God uses each and every aspect, and when we go through some difficulties, we're not to take and to murmur and complain like the Israelites did. We're to learn that that's not the way to respond. What we're to do is we're to lean upon the everlasting arms of Jesus, aren't we? We're to take and look to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I know I'm going through a difficult time here, but what is it you want me to learn out of this? What can I learn? How can I be better for having gone through this? But Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 11 and 12 tells us He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, God gives us folks. He gave us the apostles and prophets. That was the foundation upon which we were built. And now we have evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why do we have folks like myself that stand in the pulpit? Well, it's to bring us to perfection. God gives me messages to preach. I preach these things not because I think I'm such a great speaker, because I know I'm not. There's a lot of folks who would get up here and probably do a lot much better job at speaking than what I am. Never been the world's greatest speaker, but listen, I'm willing to preach what God gives me. And when I preach, it's that you might be brought to maturity in Christ Jesus. That's the whole purpose. It's for the perfection of the saints. Well, why are we to be perfected? Why are we to be brought into maturity in our lives? It's for so that the work of the ministry might get done. Huh? So that we can work in the ministry that God has given to us. Well, why do we work in the ministry? So that the body of Christ might be edified. That's the three things that why God gave those. He said for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And those build upon one another. When you perfect the saints, and the work of the ministry gets done, and when the work of the ministry gets done, the body of Christ is edified. And so it's because of the good old days that we're better through God. It's because of them that we're better. Because of whatever we've had to go through, whether it be good or bad, God uses those things in our life to make us better through Him. And then I want you to see it is because of the good old days that we had best stay true to God. God wants us to stay true to Him. Proverbs 23 and verse 10 says, remove not the old landmark. Proverbs 22 and verse 28 tells us something very similar. It says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. You know, as we think about landmarks, I know it's talking about physical boundaries, but there's some boundaries that have been set spiritual-wise that we don't need to be moving either. Amen? There's some things that we need to stick with. And Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 1 says, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know, we ought to be careful that we don't let the truth of God's Word slip away from us. We need to hold true to the great things of old that have been passed down to us. Like I said, you know, some folks have given of their very lives to see that we get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep it, preaching the true gospel. Many have given of their everything that they've had to see that we have the right kind of church, independent fundamental church here to take and stand upon the fundamentals of the faith. And that's what Jude talked about. And he says in Jude 3, he says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so we're to earnestly contend for the faith, just as the generation before us earnestly contended for the faith. And you know, if we fail to earnestly contend for the faith, what's going to happen? We'll let things slip, and the next generation will be without. That's what will happen. We need to pass those old truths to the future generations. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And even as early as the Israelites commandments that were given to the Israelites here, they were told that you need to look out for the future generations here. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6. Well, let's back up to verse number 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Okay, so we're first of all, we're to cling to the Word of God ourselves. It's supposed to be in our hearts. And this we see in verse 7. He says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And so here they were to share them with the next generation. And he says in verse 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." See, somebody else had planted the vineyards. Somebody else had digged the wells. They just stepped in and they got the benefit of those things. Could I tell you that, you know, some folks have put some things in to this church that you are reaping the benefits of? That's right. You know, you're reaping the benefits of it. Hey, but beware lest you forget the Lord. He said, there in verse 12, he says, "But then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name." And so we see there, friend, we see the importance of passing the truth to the next generation. Now, it's because of the good old days that we can belong to God. And I ask you this morning, do you belong to God? See, because of what God did, because of what others have done in the distant past, and because of what others have done in the recent past, the gospel is still going forth out of this house right here, out of this church. And the question is this morning, if you were to die today and stand before God, why should He let you into heaven? Well, listen, friend, it's not based upon any kind of works that you do, not based upon whether you think you're a pretty good fellow or not. Listen, it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that anybody gets to God. And God's the one that made the way. God's the one that prepared the way. He's the one that brought the gospel to us. He's the one that provided eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of the good old days that you better trust in the Lord. Have you placed your faith and trust in Him for salvation? And if you have, are you trusting Him to guide you in your life? It's because of the good old days that we're better through God. We need to honor the past as we're doing today, but we also need to press on to the future. And it's because of the good old days that we had best stay true to God. What about your life? Has it remained steadfast and true, or have you been growing and gaining, in your spiritual ground like you ought to in your spiritual life, or is your life one that's been drifting? You've been slipping. You've been letting things slip. It's drifted from where it ought to be, from where God would have it to be. If that be the case today, why don't you find a place down here on the old-fashioned altar and get things back to where they need to be? Yeah, we need to remember the good old days, right? Because it's brought us some good things. But we also need, you know, the next generation to be looking back at us. Now, are they going to be able to say that, that generation passed, they passed the torch on to us? We need to do it, folks. We need to do it. Let's bow in prayer. Father, take these words today. Lord, help us to remember the past and honor those in the past who have brought us this church today. Lord, help us to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Lord, it's because of the head that we could even be here at all. But Lord, the apostles and prophets of before, and Lord, the many evangelists and pastors and teachers along the way, and those who gave of their blood, sweat, and tears all down so that we might be here today and hear the truth of God's Word and have the pure Word of God holding in our hands, and we might have the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might have the fundamentals of the faith. Lord, that we are to earnestly contend for ourselves. Lord, help us to see these things. And Lord, help us not to let these things slip, we pray. And Lord, if there's one here today that's lost in their sins, they've never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Lord, they're trampling under their feet all that has gone on before them. They're just like the scribes and the Pharisees, Lord, who don't even realize maybe what they're doing with those who have gone on before. But Lord, help them to see today that they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and accept the grace that has been brought to them because of the things in the past. And Lord, we just pray that you'd have your will and way in this invitation now. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please.